the interpretation of that tongues. So we are glad that you are here today. Children's Church could be dismissed at this time and go with Sharon, actually practicing for the Christmas program there. So we were planning on taking a vacation, and we were going to take this week and be on vacation, and we are going to take a few days and go to Door County. But I called up Pastor Kurt Thomason to see if he could preach for me next Sunday, and he said he was already preaching somewhere, so he said, how about this week, this Sunday? And so he's going to be ministering today. I'm not taking the week off completely. I'm trying to get some extra rest time in and things like that. But we decided not to be gone long because Stoney really is in a place where he's going to go home to be with the Lord anytime now, and unless the Lord really works a miracle and raises him up. So be in prayer for Stoney and Della, and we want to pray for them here this morning again. But I've tried to have Pastor Kurt here for a long time. We've just never been able to connect on schedules. I want you to know that I really appreciate him. I've had, of course, like anybody else, some down times, some discouraging times, and he has always been there for me. He's called me or I've been able to call him on the phone and talk with him, and he's been a real blessing to me. So I want you just to honor him today like you would honor me, and I know you will. Him and his wife, Andrea, are not strangers to many of you. They've pastored in New Richmond for 25 years, been heavily involved in the camp. Kurt has been a presbyter, and just last year, about this time in November, we had that 50s get-together in Dallas that many of you went to, and Pastor Kurt and Andrea led the singing and led the service that day, and I know you enjoyed their ministry, and we were supposed to have one scheduled here back in May, I think, but with all this coronavirus and things, we never were able to do that, but I look forward to doing that someday. Wilson gets to host the next 50s thing, okay? We got a request in. So before I turn it over to Pastor Kurt, we want to spend some time in prayer. Also pray for our nation today. As I mentioned, today is National Day of Prayer and Fasting. It's Freedom Sunday. I'm going to just ask you, I'm going to lead on in prayer here, but I'm going to ask you, just a couple of you, if you would like to lead in prayer for this country, if you'd just come up here and step behind the microphone and pray. I just want to do that for a little bit today. We don't take a lot of time, but we need to pray. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come to you today. Lord, we are remindful of those that are not here today due to some physical ailment. Lord, and there are some, and there's Stoney. Of course, Lord, we are just so grateful that we've had the opportunity to know him and to minister to him for these last handful of years. We thank you, Lord, that he's come to a saving knowledge of you, and he is at peace with you today. And Lord, I pray that you would either do a miraculous healing in his life, or Lord, if you are going to take him home, that you would just keep him in peace and give Della strength, Lord, that daily strength that she needs, and the divine strength that is beyond her abilities. Pray for Karen today. We thank you that her surgery went well, but she's in quite a bit of pain today, Lord. Bring healing to her and relieve her of that pain. We thank you for the answered prayer for Ezra last week, Lord, and the miracle that you work there, and how you use the church body to pray for him. Lord, for other needs here today, and I know that there are some. We all have needs, but we're grateful that we can come and we can place them at the feet of Jesus today. We cast all of our care upon you because you care for us, and you love us deeply, and reminded of that in the songs that we sang this morning. And also, Lord, I would like to lift up our nation to you. And Lord, for the very important elections that are coming up, Lord, we ask that your sovereign hand would move across this nation. And Lord, I pray for another spiritual awakening, a great revival to take place across this nation. And Lord, that you would put the leaders in the positions that you would want them to be. But above all, Lord, I pray that we would be a nation that would turn to you again and seek you, to seek your face. Lord, and we know that when we humble ourselves before you, you pour out your marvelous grace. Lord, as an individual, I humble myself before you today. As a church, we humble ourselves before you. And I pray that as a nation goes to its knees today and begins to intercede for our nation to you, Lord, that you would pour out your grace, that you would pour out your mercy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did somebody want to come and pray? Anyone? Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray, Lord Jesus, for your children in this nation, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would please, Lord Jesus, draw us closer to you, Father. Your word says that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Lord Jesus, you made a promise, but we have to do our part. We have to humble ourselves. We need to pray and to seek your face. And not just that, we need to turn from our wicked ways, Lord Jesus. Father God, the church in this nation, Lord Jesus, has been so weak, Lord Jesus. We need to have a revival, Lord Jesus. I look at our brothers and sisters in Christ in countries where they are persecuted heavily for their faith, Lord Jesus. And yet they are not afraid of losing their life or being imprisoned for decades, Lord Jesus. They share your truth with boldness, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that in our workplace, in our homes, or wherever we go shopping or whatever we do, let our hearts be in the right place, Lord Jesus, to boldly be a light for you, Lord Jesus, I pray. Father God, I just ask that you would draw the church closer to you. You are waiting on us. Father God, your hands are movable when your church is praying. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen us, Lord Jesus, and help us to be the light where we are. And Lord God, I thank you for hearing and answering prayers. I know so many have been praying. And I thank you, Lord. And I do pray that we would continue to, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, for hearing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, I stand before you for one of the ones that compromise. And I repent, Lord Jesus. And I believe that that's one of the biggest sins that we have is compromise. I compromise looking at that whole plate of cookies. And I know that I shouldn't, and I do it anyway. How many times have I thought, oh, laying in this nice warm bed rather than going out and letting the dog out of the barn and feeding the chickens? How many times am I compromised? Oh, Lord, that we put it heavy on our hearts, that we can go inward and look to ourselves and see how we've compromised you, how this nation has compromised, how I've not stood up stronger against abortion, against same-sex marriage. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's an abomination before you. And I do repent. Help us, O Lord. Strengthen us, lead us, and guide us in your ways, in your spirit. Strengthen my spirit in and through you, Lord Jesus, that I would read your word more during the day, that I would stand more for you, Lord Jesus, that I would get behind my husband and help him as he stumbles along. God help us. God help me. In your holy name, amen.
Oh, Father in heaven, sometimes I don't know how to pray, sometimes, Father. I pray, Father God, you hear our prayers today, Lord. So many Christians around the nation are going to be crying out to you today, Lord, as we call this a day of fasting and prayer. Help me, Father God, to fast and pray today. Help me, Father God, my family, our whole church family, Lord. Pray, Father God, for this nation, Lord. We're at a crossroads, Lord, and you know it, Lord. I pray, Father God, that your people would hear the Holy Spirit speaking to their hearts, that the blinders would come off their eyes and they would see the truth. The truth would set them free. Lord God, I just pray for this nation, Lord. I pray, Father God, you would give us leaders that would lead us back to you, Lord, not away from you. Leaders that would call abortion bad, not good. They would call same-sex marriage bad, not good. We've come to a point, Lord, where evil is celebrated and good is put down. Lord God, I pray, Father God, for our leaders. I pray, Father God, for this upcoming election, Lord, that your will be done, Lord. That you would give us leaders, Lord, not just in the president's office, but in the Congress and the Senate, Lord, that would uphold your word, Lord. Help us, Father God, to be a nation that honors you, Lord. One nation under God. Lord, help us never to take those words out of our Pledge of Allegiance, Lord, and out of our prayer and out of our schools, Lord. Help them get back into schools, actually, Lord, I pray. And back in the public square, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Lord, you said in your word to Joshua, everywhere the sole of your foot sets in the land, I give that to you. And I take that promise and I take it for America. Lord God, you have your people in every state, in every city, and every town of this country. And we set our feet down and we claim America for Jesus Christ. This is your land. It belongs to you, and we give it to you today. Lord God, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Lord God, America, we stand for Jesus.
Amen. In fact, since it is Freedom Sunday, let's all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Pastor Kurt, before you sit down, you're on, buddy.
Yeah. You left my notes. Good, then I can preach. Your pastor has called me from time to time and said, I've got to be gone. Can you fill in? And as a retired pastor, I get fill-in in different spurts. So I'll go a couple months and nobody wants me, and then I'm busy. And he has a very specific spiritual gift, and it's to call me the week that I'm busy. If you're wondering about the snow, it's not snowing too badly today, but if you're wondering about the snow today, it's my fault. About 9 years ago, our youngest son, David, and his wife, Libby, got married, and they had the wedding ceremony here. And it was a beautiful day in December, and it was great, and we were just having a great time. And it started to snow. And it kept snowing harder and harder and harder, and by the time we got through with the wedding and the reception and cleaning up and all that other kind of stuff, one of the people that leaving the wedding got not even to the interstate and was in the ditch. It was just terrible. We drove home to New Richmond at about 30 miles an hour, praying all the way that we would get there. And so that was the last time we were here, and we're here again today, and it's snowing, so it's my fault. But we've had the privilege of meeting many of you in various meetings over the last 30 years and have enjoyed fellowship with your pastor and his wife, and we are thankful for all the things that the Lord has done. Our youngest son, David, who is married here, is now pastor in Dallas, Wisconsin, and as of this summer, is also taken over as administrator of Assembly Park Bible Camp. And it was just terrible that we couldn't have camp this year, but we're working on it already for next year and looking forward to it, and I trust that many, many of your young people can get to youth camp next year, and many of you can get to family camp next year as well. It's a great place that God has done many, many great things, and we thank God for camp. Today I want to talk about the thought of our might or by the Spirit of God. Our might or by the Spirit of God. There's an old song written by Almeda Herrick that I sung this all my life. Is there a mountain in your way? Mountain. Is there something in your way? Do doubts and fears abound? Press on, oh, hear the Spirit say, this mountain shall come down. Is there a river in your path? A river deep and wide. Is there some kind of a barrier, this river? Is there a river deep and wide? Step in, the waters will roll back. You'll reach the other side. Is there a fiery furnace trial? A fiery furnace trial. If you're familiar with that Bible story where some young men were thrown into a fiery furnace, they said, you got to get rid of God in your life, and you've got to bow down to the God that we say you're supposed to bow down to. And they said, nope, we won't. Is there a fiery furnace trial? Far more than you can bear. Behold, the blessed Son of God is walking with you there. Then trust alone the mighty God. He speaks, the winds obey. Take courage then, O fainting heart, for you he'll make a way. And it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. When we face a mighty trial and an object and a major obstacle, how are we going to make it? How are we going to have any victory at all? Do we just push through and hope that some way, somehow we'll make it? You know, I'm going to keep trying. Somehow, some way. No. Let's look at what the scripture says. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It says this. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. There is power in God. God wants his power to flow through us, and he wants us to put our trust in him today and realize that it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. It's not by how smart I am. It's not by how creative I am. It's not by how influential I am. It's by the Spirit of God. I know that we all like stories. Let's start with a few stories today. I want to talk about the power of tides. The power of tides. Now, I've been in the Midwest. We moved to the Midwest in 1968, my parents. But before that, I was living on the East Coast. So I grew up around the ocean, and the tides are something coming and going all the time, every day, coming and going. So during the troubled years of the Second World War, the Italian forces were driven out of Eritrea in North Africa. In an effort to make the harbor unusable for the Allies, the Italians took great barges, filled them with concrete, and caused them to sink across the entrance of the harbor. When the Allies entered, their problem was to remove those barges in order for the harbor to become usable. They did so in a very ingenious way. They took great gas tanks, those huge tanks used to hold hundreds of thousands of gallons of fuel in oil refineries, sealed the tanks to float, floated over the barges below, and secured them to the barges at low tide. When the tide came in, the barges were lifted by the tanks floating with the tide. The barges pulled from the sucking mud at the bottom of the bay, and then a relatively easy matter to move them and make the harbor useful again. Think about that. The barges were chained to the tanks. Low tide. The tide came in. Nothing's going to stop the tide. And the power of the tide caused them to be lifted up, and they cleared out the harbor. That's what you call power. That's what you call power. A second story, a man named Paul Dawson. He said, while we were visiting the Grand Coulee Dam, my family and I were surprised to see the visitor center was dark. It was a sunny day. We thought the center might have tinted windows, but as we got closer, we realized there were no lights on. We went in and saw that none of the displays were working. And suddenly it became clear there was no power to the center. There was no electrical power to the center. Due to technical difficulty of some kind, the visitor center that sat only hundreds of feet from a hydroelectric dam had no power. How could something be so close to a source of power and yet not be plugged in? Plugged in. It needed to be plugged in. And this is something that we as Christians need to think about. We have the power. Are we plugged in? Or we have the power. God is everywhere. You can't go anywhere without God being there. But are we plugged in? Are we connected to that awesome power that God provides? Are we connected to that awesome power of the tide? And if you've never been to the ocean and watched the tides come and go, it's something amazing. It's something amazing. It is very, very powerful. And so what we want to do today is look at the thought of, is it our might or is it by the Spirit of God? So let's go back to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6. Look at this again. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You remember that old song, that hymn with that? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's scripture. It's not what we can do, it's what the Lord of hosts can do. This message was spoken to Zerubbabel, but it applies to all of God's people. We can have military might, and that is amazing. We can have political power, we can have human strength, and all of these things, but it cannot accomplish God's work. It cannot accomplish God's work. We've been here this morning, and we're in the Sunday school class, and it was a lot of prayer. Morning service, a lot of prayer. You're doing, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be going to the Lord in prayer so that God, by His power, will accomplish His work, and it's enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need that power. God's power is shown in many different ways. Do you remember a fellow named Gideon? If you go to Judges chapter 6 and 7, you can read the whole story of Gideon and how God used him to have a great military victory. But I want to read just a few of the different verses from Judges chapter 6. Starting verse number 1, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Okay? God's people, if you read the history of Israel, they just were up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. I hope that's not a description of your Christian life. But what does this say? When they went against God, when they went against what God wanted them to do, then God brought judgment and they were in the hand of Midian for 7 years. Verse number 6. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. Again, you read the story of the nation of Israel. And they would get victory, and then they'd walk away from God, and then it's, oh God, help us, help us. And God would respond, and you know, just this up and down. Verse number 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. I'd like us to think about that thought a little bit, the O mighty man of valor. Are we all here just kind of regular folk? We just kind of regular folk. You do your best, right? Somebody comes up and says, oh, mighty man of valor. Oh, mighty woman of valor. And you, who are they talking to? Listen. God will use any one of us and empower us in any way and use us in amazing ways. And God came to Gideon, and Gideon didn't think he was anything any special, and yet here they come and call him a mighty man of valor. Listen, God wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you in great ways. I don't know how. Let God speak to you and show you how He wants to use you. And don't be afraid of being able to be say, listen, God will use me. Now, don't get proud with it, but don't be afraid to say, God will use me. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the weakest in my father's house. Excuses? Okay? Yeah? Okay. Who, me? Verse 16, and the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Very young in my life, we lived in rural New Jersey, out in the country. Then we moved to Brockton, Massachusetts, a town of, I don't know, at that time, 80,000 people. So, I mean, it was a real city. I mean, we had traffic, you know, traffic coming from both directions at the same time. That happens in Wilson every now and then. And there was a little corner grocery store, and my mother would send me to go to that little corner grocery store to get things, but I had to cross Belmont Street. And it was a real street. And it took me forever to cross that street because if I could see a car anywhere, I wouldn't cross. But I had a father who was 6'2", had just come home from World War II, a medic in the front lines in Europe. And if I was walking with him and he grabbed a hold of my hand and he started to walk, then I wasn't too worried about it because if he's taking me, then I'm okay. What does this say? The Lord said to him, but I will be with you and you shall strike the Midianites. God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. When God calls you to do something, then you can step out and do it. Verse number 23, but the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. God says, don't fear. I'll be with you. I will be with you. Verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. When you read the whole story of Gideon, you find out how God supernaturally used him and destroyed the enemy. And we must rely on God's divine power to accomplish spiritual victory and to have an impact in the world. We can have an impact in the world, but it's not because of who we are. It's because of everything of who God is in us. It's who God empowers us to be. Let's go to the New Testament. Jesus started his earthly ministry in the power of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And was as his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Jesus is reading this and he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's given me the good news to the poor. Listen, we live in a world today where there's no good news anywhere. I basically have quit looking at the news. If you want to get discouraged and get depressed, go ahead and watch the news. But people need good news, and Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to people who are hurting. People need good news today, and it's Jesus. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty to the captives, to really be set free. People who are bound by sin are in such great bondage, they don't have any hope for tomorrow. But in Jesus, we have liberty. And he says, and recovering of sight to the blind. Here there's miracles, there's healing. God says, Jesus said, this is through me. And to set at liberty those that are oppressed, those that are oppressed, those that are discouraged, those that are depressed. Jesus said, I've come to set them free through the power of the Holy Spirit and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said, this is what I've come for. This is why I'm here. I'm coming to do all of these things, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to be able to do all of these things. Because remember, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not our might, but it's the Spirit of the Lord. The anointing talks about symbolic of the pouring of oil over a person being empowered for spiritual service. A picture of the working of the Holy Spirit. Some people are called to full-time ministry. There was a day back in 1969, I think the is either 69 or 70. I can remember the time, but the exact date
when God specifically spoke to me about a calling to ministry. I grew up in a preacher's home. I've been in more church services. I'll put as many church services as you've been. I mean, I've been to women's ministries meetings. And I never rebelled against God, but I never had a plan to go into the ministry. And God specifically called me to that and went to North Central and graduated. And we've been involved in the ministry ever since then. You might not be called to career ministry, but God has called you to ministry. God has called you to use you. He has called you to use you. And he wants to anoint you with the power of the Holy Spirit to be used. To be used. The purpose of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to preach the gospel, the good news, forgiveness, salvation, encouraging the poor, encouraging the oppressed, encouraging those crushed in spirit and brokenhearted. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit has come to cause people to minister and to be used of God. To bring freedom. One of the privileges I had for probably about 27 years, even after I retired pastoring, there's a prison in New Richmond, Challenge Incarceration Program, St. Croix Correctional Center. And for that time, if I was in town every Saturday night, I was out there preaching. I had the privilege of speaking one-on-one with hundreds of inmates during all that time. I had many, many, many contacts with inmates. Convicted felons, they were in prison. It's so easy for them to think, well, when I get out, everything's going to be different. You know how it gets different? When people get serious about having Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's real freedom. That is real freedom. That is freedom. Jesus came to heal. He came to heal. Came to heal. There is healing power in the power of God. And he wants us to pray and trust and believe in healing. Jesus said he came to heal. He came to heal. The very beginning of the church was empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But you will receive what? What? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God wants to use you in power. You might say, well, yeah, but again, here come these excuses. No, God wants to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to be used. All my life I've known about the spiritual battle. I believe today, as Christians, we're in an even greater spiritual battle and intensity than we've ever been in before. We're fighting a powerful spiritual battle, and it's only going to be won by using spiritual weapons. When we were in the adult Sunday school class this morning, just before we went to prayer, and talking about prayer, I was reminded of the fact that if you go through church history, every great move of God, somewhere behind that, before that happened, you can find a prayer meeting somewhere. Somewhere there was a group of students praying. I don't remember the exact history right now, but there's one they call the Haystack Revival because people were gathering at a farm by a haystack and praying. And so that's the spiritual weapon. To fight this spiritual battle, it starts with the power of the Holy Spirit, people praying. And only as the Spirit of God continues to use us and guide us and empower us, are we going to accomplish any of these things. It's a spiritual battle. You will receive power. Rely on God's power. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a key verse in the history of the church. This is an absolute key verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to empower us to be used of God. What happened to Peter after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit? He went from being a wimp to a warrior. God used him in mighty, mighty, mighty ways. People will never be saved by our persuasive arguments. Now, we need to know what the Word of God says. We need to know how to answer questions. But it won't just be because you are a great debater that somebody's going to get saved. It's because the Spirit of God works in their lives. It's because God deals with them. People who don't have a personal relationship with the Lord can receive His forgiveness when you are used by the Spirit of God to speak to them, and God is working in their heart. God is working in their heart. You might talk to somebody over and over and over again, and all of a sudden one day, because God has been working in their heart, and finally they're ready to open up and receive God. The power of the Spirit means that God's power is at work. The power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to work through you. He wants to work through you. Jesus said that the enemy that we face is a liar. There's a lot of lies going on in the world today. There are a lot of lies going on in the world today. And people are really good at lying. People are really good at lying. Let me share a story about Alexander the Great. We can learn about spiritual war from physical war. And author Tim Downs, in a book called Head Game, writes this. PSYOPs stands for psychological operations, a form of warfare as old as war itself. An early example of this can be found in the battle strategies of Alexander the Great. On one occasion, when his army was in full retreat from a larger army, he gave orders to his armor bearers to construct oversized breastplates and helmets that would fit men 7 or 8 feet tall. As his army would retreat, they would leave these items for the pursuing army to discover. When the enemy would find the oversized gear, they would be demoralized by the thought of fighting such giant soldiers, and they would abandon their pursuit. Satan likes to play head games with us. And too often leaving us demoralized by fear and doubt. We assume Satan is bigger or greater than he really is, and the quickest way to thwart our enemy's psyops is to gaze on the greatness of our God. God said this in Job 38. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me, if you understand, who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy? God did it all. I love the passage of the scripture where it says, God hung the world on nothing. He just said, I'm going to make this thing called the earth. It's going to be called the earth, and it's just going to be here. And it's just going to spin, and it's going to do this thing around this thing called the sun. And it's not on anything. It's just there. How is it there? Because God said, let it be. That's how it is. God said, let it be. And when the enemy tries to come in and say, I'm more powerful, God says, well, where were you when? In some recent conversations with my brother George, who just last year retired after 35 years of being an AG missionary, spent some of that time in Africa and some of that time in Europe. We were talking about some things that had happened in their missionary career, and he sent me a couple of stories. Let me share these with you. The West Africa Advanced School of Theology. It's in Lomé, Togo, and he taught there for many years. Has an FM radio station that reaches all the way to the north of Togo. And if you look at a map of West Africa, Togo's this really skinny country, but it's real tall. so it's quite a ways from north to south. One day a blind lady was listening to the broadcast. She heard the message of God's power for healing and decided to make her way to Lomé in order to receive power. That is a long walk. I never made it to Lomé, Togo, but I made it to Benin, the country next to it, which is a kind of the same kind of thing, tall and skinny. And we drove from the coast way inland, and it took us forever. Of course, the African roads are really, really good. I can't imagine walking that, but she walked all that way. When she got to the school, people prayed for her. Okay, what's the next part of the story? What happened to the lady? God healed her, gave her her sight. God's power gave her her sight, and she returned home rejoicing. She heard a radio broadcast that God is the healer, and she went to there in faith, and God healed her. Another story that George gave me during our first term, we were invited to preach in our Assembly of God church in Benin, one of the churches of Benin, which is where he was before he went to Togo. The city is one of the centers of voodoo worship. When he first went to Benin, they had their first term there. They told us they are going to a center of voodoo worship. Now, this stuff is real, folks. This is not just something that somebody makes up and makes entertainment out of. This stuff is real. This is a major center of voodoo worship. But one of their colleagues had planted a church there. He said, that day I was very sick. I didn't know if I would be able to preach. There was a water baptismal service before the main service, and one of the people baptized was a very old man. I sat in my car and watched the baptism take place in the lake. Interestingly, the elder brother had recently been converted and wanted his pastor to baptize him, but the pastor had been away. Now that the pastor was home, he held the baptismal service. That evening, the brother passed away. Here's an old guy, gets saved, gets baptized, gets to go to Jesus real quick. So in that sense, he was completely healed. But my story continues. I went to the service and was still too weak to preach. Right before I was called to the pulpit, we were served communion. As soon as my lips touched the cup, I was healed. I'd never experienced anything like that before, but I knew God had touched me. I was able to preach with plenty of strength. Communion is an amazing thing. And healing is part of the gift that God has given to us. Healing is part of that gift that God has given to us. Let's trust God for the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us and to use us in some amazing ways. So a very important question for us to think of. What is too hard for God? What causes God to squirm and say, oh my, what am I going to do about that? Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing catches God by surprise. Nothing catches God where God says, I didn't know that was going to happen. Nothing is too hard for God. What does the Bible say? A couple of verses quickly. Jeremiah 32. Ah, Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. A little farther down in that same book, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Matthew 19. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, that is something that we really, really need, but we have through the Lord today. I wasn't going to tell you this story, but I'm going to tell you this story. Because it seems like failure, but it's not. My parents have, they're both in heaven. And three boys in the family. The oldest is Roger. Roger, for a long time, was on staff at Summit Avenue Assembly in St. Paul. I don't know if any of you ever met Roger. Roger was one of the best musicians you would ever want to meet anywhere. Excellent Bible teacher, tremendous Bible teacher. Was on the faculty of Central Bible College down in Springfield. He was on the music faculty, but I believe he could have taught any Bible class in the whole school, and it would have been well received. In the summer of 2012, very early in the morning, his son Josh called me and said, my dad's had a heart attack. He's been taken to the hospital. And that's all I know so far. Okay, call me back and let me know. Roger had been up very, very early. He often was doing things in the middle of the night, and he was sitting in his recliner, and his wife heard him gasp, and then there was nothing. Called 911, got the EMTs there. They zapped him back two or three times, got him to the number one cardiac hospital in Springfield, Missouri. They did things to him. They got a blockage open and all kinds of things, but very soon we realized there wasn't much. It didn't look good. I was scheduled to preach a funeral. I called a friend of mine and said, hey, I need you to help this. We're going to Springfield. Spent 2 weeks watching Roger just lay there. During this time, what do you do? If you spend a lot of time in a hospital, you know, with somebody else who's sick, what do? You sit there, and it's the most difficult thing. It'd be easier for you to go work 12 hours at a hard labor job than to sit in the hospital like that. And there were days that I sat on the hall and cried. And people literally around the world were praying. I got a phone call from Europe. Somebody called me. I got a phone call from India. Somebody called me. My brother knew everybody. Being on the faculty of the Bible College, he had students all around the world. And he knew everybody. And the bottom line is, 2 weeks after laying in the hospital, we watched him die. Now, you say you were just talking about healing. Why are you telling this story? Because I'm going to want to connect it with this verse. The truth of the matter is that someday every one of us will go into the presence of the Lord. It was the most amazing funeral you have ever seen. All his musicians' friends got together and created a live orchestra and choir. It was amazing music. It was amazing. A couple of former general superintendents and Bible college presidents spoke at his funeral. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. And God's promises are real, and he's in the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you have choirs in heaven. If they do, he's leading one of them. But during this whole time, this verse that we just read, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will flood your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus, that went in my mind over and 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 over. And in the midst of all of this stuff, God gave us his peace. When we stand there and watched him take his last and enter into eternity, God gave us his peace. And through all of that kind of stuff, God gave us his peace. And what God wants us to understand is this. There's great power in the Spirit of God. God wants to do wonderful things through us. And there's healing and there's all of these wonderful things. But in the midst of whatever we go through, God says he wants to give his people peace. He wants to give his people peace. And that's the hope that we have. And someday we will all be together with the Lord in heaven. And what an amazing time that's going to be. Okay, we're in a lousy time in our world today. We're in a lousy time. We're in a time where people are living in fear. We're in a time when people are living in all kinds of torment. But we need to remember this question. Our might, or by the Spirit of God? It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so God wants to give us peace. He wants to give us peace. He wants us to be filled with His presence. He wants us to be filled with His power, and He wants to give us His peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. How can God do that? I don't know. I'm not a Greek scholar. My brother George is a Greek scholar. He's taught Greek on the college level. I don't understand Greek. But my interpretation of this verse is this. The peace of God that doesn't make sense. How can you have peace when you're going through all of these things? I don't know, but God gives it to us. God gives it to us. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You know that old chorus, don't you? That verse, that chorus, not by might, not by power. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, says the Lord. Praise God. Lord, we pray this whole area, whole St. Croix County areas, whole Western Wisconsin area, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Pour your Spirit out. And Lord, there are people here that want to serve you, that want to be used of you. We pray a fresh anointing of your Spirit upon them, a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit upon them. Let St. Croix County, let this whole area be shaken by the power of God. We pray, God, that in businesses, people will get saved during break time. We pray that in homes, people who have been rebellious against God, their hearts will be melted before you, God, and people will be saved. We pray that people will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray that this area will know that Jesus Christ is Lord in a greater way than ever before. And Lord God, use us. Use us in a mighty, mighty, powerful, powerful way. And Lord, it's all for you. It's all for your glory. God, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, Pastor.
Thank you, Kurt. I got to tell you, there's something really interesting. I don't know if you've known I've been preaching on Zechariah.
No,
because the verse, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, God did not release me to preach on that verse. I've been all over Zechariah. I have not touched that verse. I wanted to, but I never got the release to preach that verse because God had you here today. So God bless you. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord in that. My plan was, God, when I finish, could I go back and get that verse? And I just never been able to feel God release me to do that. But God has a message for you today. And if you got something in your life that you need peace for, He is the Prince of Peace. If you have something in your life that you need a miracle, well, that miracle's not too hard for God. I'd go to Him while it's fresh in your mind today. While you still feel the urgency of this message on your heart, go to God. Find some time today and seek the Lord. All right, thank you for coming. Thank you for that message today. I promise to turn the message over, or the service over to Dan. Here, and he will dismiss us. Yes.
Blood pressure.
Praise the Lord.